Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've joined us. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv and click on our heroes raising the flag over Iwo Jima, and that will lead to our Blog Talk Radio site, which has years and years worth of podcasts. There's so much information there, and we're just grateful for our guests that take time out of their busy schedule. But always, we like to give everything to God in prayer as we start. So I'm going to turn this over to Mrs. Barbara Moore. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you, O God, for this wonderful day that you've given us and every day that you've given us, Father. You've been so, so good to us, to all of us, Father, in so many different ways. And we praise you for it. We thank you for it. We pray that you'll be with us and guide our thoughts and our words, that we would be pleasing to you, Lord. help us, Lord, to just be aware of you, to be aware of your presence, to, Father, just to desire to please you in all things, and especially in this conversation that we're about to have. Father, we're grateful that you allow us to be part of what you're doing. We pray, Father, that we would be very good ambassadors for you, that we would be your people, Father, in every way, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. And Father, we continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for your people in Israel. Bless them, O God. We pray for laborers to go into the fields. We pray for soul winners, Lord, for ourselves and for our loved ones and for your people, that many will come into the kingdom of God and be a blessing to you, O Lord, and to make a difference on this earth. We pray that for ourselves, Lord, too, that we will make a difference. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. Always good to have you. Miss Barbara, do you have any words? You know how you always like to start us off with some words of wisdom.
Well, I don't know if any words of wisdom. I do know that I spent part of the day with a fourth grade class at Northside Methodist Academy today. It's my granddaughter's fourth grade class. And I was so blessed to be with these children. And I was telling them about Ferdinand Magellan and his life and what he accomplished. It was just such a pleasure to watch them as they listened and to see the interest in their eyes and in their demeanor. And It was just such a joy. And I see that, you know, a joy, yes, but also it's heartbreaking for me because I know that all children could have that if we would give that to them. You know, we're shortchanging our children. We're stealing their heritage from them. You know, it's a joy for me to be with them and to teach them, but it's heartbreaking also to know that could be given to all our children if our education system were different.
If men were decent, and I guess if men were angels.
Yeah.
And I hate to be smart, Ms. Barbara. And we've got our wonderful guest, Ms. Ann Eubanks. And Ms. Ann, I know you're hearing Ms. Barbara, and I bet you've got some things to add to that.
Oh, absolutely. I look at my grandchild who is in the second grade and some of the stuff that she's bringing home, and I just hope that we will be able to prevail with God's help and bring us back to the America that we grew up in instead of the America that these children are having to deal with. So we will continue to work.
Well, Miss Ann, you said something a while back that made me really think hard. And you said something about, Diana, we really have to get, you didn't use the word fervent, but it's really something like that. With fervency, we have to really act. Go ahead.
I used the word militant.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yes. You know, we are fervent and passionate right now, but we are going to have to get militant. And I used that word with Christian militancy, I guess is a good way to put it. With some of the other people in our country who they have their own agenda, that go into the street and try to destroy the values and the commandments that we've been given by God by being in the streets and being militant with the politicians. Well, we're going to have to quit being so nice and be militant. But in order to do that, we have to have a lot of people who will be brave enough to step up with us. And that's what the other people with agendas have done, is they have gotten, their people show up, their people are engaged and militant, and they refuse to back down. We're just too nice. But that's how
especially in
the
South.
That's who we are.
Yeah.
We're not.
And I guess that's why they think they can come after us right here in Alabama with such a vengeance. That there's some that's saying, we want to make Alabama our home. And I'm thinking, oh, really? But Ms. Barbara, I don't know, can you talk about what happened today? Because when she said that about, not backing down and standing up, one of the things that I remember about you, Ms. Barbara, is you have always stood out. You have really stood up. That's how I first met you. I'm laughing because the first time I met you, I remember it was over an issue that was a hotly contested issue in Alabama. And there you were in the news. And I thought, I'd sure like to meet that lady because she sure had it right. She was fired up. She was bold and very clear spoken. And by the grace of God, my sister-in-law knew you, and so somehow we got to connect, and it's been, a relationship that's really a God thing, and I thank God for Miss Ann, too. All these relationships, I think, are ones ordered by the Lord, but I was really inspired by you, Miss Barbara, and you're like Miss Ann. You're bold for the Lord, and something happened today that also that boldness stood out. Would you mind sharing that?
I don't mind sharing it.
Miss Ann?
Well, this past week, flyers were sent home with children all over Dothan. In fact, I was able to discover that every child in the Dothan City Schools, from Head Start up through the elementary grades and high school, I guess about 6,000 students, every one of them were given a flyer about suicide awareness. And this flyer, it seemed to be aimed at children, at young children. Because it was colorful, it was yellow and had black print, and there was a little boy on the flyer. And, of course, children they're drawn to other children, so they would naturally look at the flyer. And if they could read, they would try to read the words to find out what was going on with the little boy. Well, it was talking about suicide, and young children probably... In fact, I was thinking about this a little bit later after I was interviewed about it on Channel 18, by Channel 18 today. But I was thinking, don't you know a lot of conversations took place between children? Now, do we want children, the sex ed people, and I think they're dead wrong. I think sexual education belongs in the hands of the parents, not the school, not strangers. But they used to say, well, do you want kids teaching other kids about sex? And that was a big justification for bringing sex education into the schools. And then it's like, well, do you want children being taught by other children about killing themselves? you know, do you really want that? You know, there were conversations between children, maybe not the real young ones, but because some of them did not know what suicide meant. But you know, there were children that talked about it between themselves and amongst themselves. And but this is the thing, you know, they sent out these they didn't send them out. They put them into the hands of children and put this idea into their head about children killing themselves. And that is so wrong. That is so wrong. It was like, how dare they do this? That's what rose up within me. How dare they do this to our children? And so last night I went to the Dothan City School Board meeting with the hopes of being able to show some of the board members and this flyer that was given to our children, and it was through a directive by the central office. It came from the top down. The principals of the schools here in Dothan were assembled, and they were directed to put these into the hands of every child. I don't think, I know there were some principals who did not want to do that, and but they were ordered to by their superiors, and they did so. But anyway, I was there at the school board meeting, and but they went into a secret session to discuss the charges against the superintendent of education, Tim Wilder, who has been suspended, and it looks like he's going to be terminated. He was the one who pushed the iPads this year, fourth grade on up, and all of that I disagreed with terribly. But anyway, they were in secret session, the board members, so I couldn't talk to them. I looked for parents. There were no parents there. So I decided to leave because I had another meeting to attend. But on the way out the door, I saw Ken Curtis speaking with John Taylor, TV and radio. I'd already talked to John. But so I spoke to Ken Curtis and was talking to him about the flyer. I showed him the flyer. He said, "May I have that?" I said, "Oh, yes, you may." And so we talked a little bit more, and he asked if he could get my name and my telephone number, because he said, "I will follow up on this." So they came and did the interview today. A young woman, lovely, lovely woman, just so kind and very interested. Anyway, she came to my home because I was so busy preparing to teach that fourth grade class about Ferdinand Magellan that I didn't have time to meet her anywhere. So she said, "No, I'll come to your home." So she came, and we really had a nice visit. She did the interview, and they showed it tonight on the 6 o'clock news. I don't know whether they showed it on the 5 o'clock news. I'd forgotten. I'd forgotten to check, and I was busy. So anyway, but at the end of that interview, Ben Stanfield said, "We tried to contact the Dothan City Schools, the administrators, and left a message. We were unable to speak with them. We left a message, and they did not call us back." So that's where he is right now.
Okay, here's my question. The superintendent of those schools directed, where did the superintendent of those schools get that?
SpectraCare. Spectre Care was sponsoring the event, which, I mean, I didn't have a problem with parents attending an event. I had a problem with the children seeing all this and it being planted into their minds. But it was. But now another good question would be, where did Spectre Care get the funds to promote this and you know, to put this on? And I just think it's possibly through a grant, through the UCLA Mental Health in Schools. They do give grants. Tommy Bice is all intertwined with that. He's being called. They're saying the UCLA guy, Alderman, is saying about Alabama's Tommy Bice that he's not just complying with the mental health in schools. He is leading. He's transforming education, something to that effect. So I'm wondering if it might be part of the mental health counseling coming down the pike. You know, they create a problem and then they provide the answer to their answer, not a correct answer, but their answer to deal with the problem they created. Not just never let a crisis go to waste. You know, Rahm Emanuel's famous saying, it's create the crisis and have, waiting for the crisis, have your own answer, you know, what you want to happen. You know, create the crisis to go with the agenda you have planned. And that's, I think that's how it is in education circles with the progressives that have been hard at work for many years now, but we're seeing the final transformation in education these days. I don't know.
Well, I think you, I wrote an article, Ms. Barbara, because I think Ms. Linda was very concerned. Linda Murphy, who came here, you know, she is pretty much nationally renowned now with all these tours she's doing. Plus,
she is
one of those. And really with her background, you know, having worked for the Department of Education in her state as an appointee of the governor, and also all that, you know, learning and helping the disadvantaged, you know, doing IEPs and psychometric testing. She's very involved in the testing. She really knew every part, I would think, of education, from the legislature side to the teaching side to the mental health to the testing. So what a wonderful contact we have. Well, when she was here, she wrote an article about what she saw in our newspaper, which was that, you know, Dr. Bice has got in-house mental health available in some of the schools. Dozen is one of them. And so she wrote an article, and you know, I didn't pay attention to it much because we were busy. You know, we were so busy with the conference was still going. But now that we've had a chance to look, I think, Ms. Ann, one of the things people's going to have to get ready is what you've been saying, Ms. Linda is saying, which is you may have to get ready to go to Montgomery because there is a comprehensive counseling guidance proposal that we have seen. And I know you've been studying it, and it's part of this program called the Unified Learning Support that Tommy Bice is, you know, pioneering, right, for the whole country and using Alabama as a guinea pig, Alabama students. But comprehensive counseling guidance is a part of it, and it is one that it looks like the state board will vote on at some point, unless a miracle happens, which I don't put it past God, do that miracle. But, Ms. Ann, you've been studying it. You want to share with us what you've learned?
Yes. The fact that they're putting in 2,000
professional counselors. Now, they use the term professional counselors. And I talked to my son-in-law the other night, and he was at Army Intelligence, speaks five languages, did two tours, and has been to places that we can't talk about. And I sent it to him because it's my he's my granddaughter's father. And he said, "Ann, this looks exactly like the Russian RPG program where they assigned every single person a lifetime monitor." That's what they call them over there, monitors. Over here, they're calling them counselors. Starts at pre-K. Every child will have an individual counseling curriculum and a file, a data file. They talk about the longitudinal system, that it goes in the longitudinal system from pre-K all the way to workforce. And he says that's exactly what the Russians did. And it sounds just like it. And I thought, great, that's exactly what they're doing. They want to take our children, and the school systems are going to raise your child. They're going to counsel your child on their values. They're going to see how easily they can be manipulated, how their minds can be changed. And my values and attitudes, they love those two words. What are the children's values and attitudes? Can we change their values and attitudes? And not only just for the students, but the teachers will have a counselor to make sure that the teacher is following the counseling program. And they call it counseling curriculum. It's a curriculum. So we have to stop this. I think this is one of the last steps towards totally controlling what our children think. Now, if they put the word in there, at risk, I could see where they would say, okay, we've got some at-risk children who need some intervention, because we already have that. We have programs for at-risk children intervention, but it doesn't. It is for every single student and teacher. From the time they enter the government system of education until they go to their job and beyond. I don't think that's what America's about. And so
wow.
We need to be prepared. I'm trying to look it up right now to when the next meeting is. I have a meeting tomorrow after a luncheon where Dr. Wood is coming to talk about how Common Core is going to affect the colleges here in Birmingham. Eagle Forum is putting on. And I know that Stephanie Bell and Betty Peters both are going to be there. So I was going to ask them when the next meeting had been scheduled and had they seen the agenda yet.
Well, I've seen the date, Miss Ann. It's November
yeah.
the 12th, and, you know, it's usually the first day is the meeting, which where they vote on things, and the next
right.
day is a work session, which they vote on the next month. So
exactly.
it's the 12th, and so if this thing's going to go in, it would be this month, it would be the 12th. But now, as I, yeah, so hopefully we will find out. And I wrote an article on that, and I've got links, and I'll share it because I hadn't really shared it. I've been busy, really sidetracked a little bit with what happened in Missouri with the teachers. And I guess I'll mention that a little bit because I put that as the heading of tonight's show. And people, I'm going to read to you what is in Missouri's Constitutional Amendment number 3. And they were shocked. I got this from teachers, a teacher's website in Missouri, and they were shocked. It's like, where did this, how did this happen? And when I'm posting it, that's what people is coming out of their mouth. Is this for real? Because when I read it to you, you're going to think, what? Okay. It says, Constitutional Amendment number 3, proposed by initiative petition, shall the Missouri Constitution be amended to require teachers to be evaluated by a standards-based performance evaluation system for which each local school district must receive state approval to continue receiving state and local funding. Require teachers to be dismissed, retained, demoted, promoted, and paid primarily using quantifiable student performance data as part of the evaluation system. Require teachers to enter into contracts of 3 years or fewer with public school districts. And prohibit teachers from organizing or collectively bargaining regarding the design and implementation of the teacher evaluation system, question mark. Then it's also got another paragraph. Decisions by school districts regarding provisions allowed or required by this proposal and their implementation will influence the potential costs or savings impacting each district. Significant potential costs may be incurred by the state and or the districts if new / additional evaluation instruments must be developed to satisfy the proposal's performance evaluation requirements.
Well, we have talked about that and put it to every teacher that we know. You know, we really ought to do what we can to reach the teachers with that information. Even though it's Missouri, this is exactly what's going to be taking place in every other state. We know it. And what you were talking about is, you know, to hear it that way, and I know it's that way. I mean, I've known it was that way, that what we're experiencing and what has been planned in education to reach that point, and yet to hear you say it was so chilling. I mean, just so chilling to me. It just it was just awful. And it's true. It is true, and I know it's true, and that's why it's so chilling and so awful. But and I appreciate you doing the research and putting this together, and all that you're doing. And Diana, tell you that I appreciate so much you contacting Linda Murphy and bringing her to Alabama, and you know, the gift that she is to us is just I mean, she is just phenomenal. And but you know, we would not have her expertise, we wouldn't be able to avail of her knowledge, unless you had contacted her quite some time ago and began to get to know her and then bring her to Alabama. So I'm so grateful to you for doing that. And then lastly, I don't want to, but I've got to leave you. both tonight, and so I have to say good night. And
well,
thank
you,
so
Miss Barbara. Well, we appreciate you too, Miss Barbara. You know, it's, we're all working together, and that's just like God, isn't it? To bring, I mean, the Tea Party and everybody that was together on the events, it was just so. It was an act of God. I think everybody that cared about children just, you know, got together and did anything that they could to help. And now,
yeah.
Wasn't that just God's timing, though?
Yeah. It really was. Yeah. Truly was. So,
and
anyway.
And, you know, we're still doing it. But, you know, Miss Barbara, we need 100, 200 people to show up to object.
I know.
I know it's on a work day, but this is so important that people just I just don't know how to explain what they're attempting to do is just the worst thing ever. And it's I have no credentials in mental health. But let me tell you, I am a suicide survivor. I was 15 years old, and a friend of mine committed suicide.
Hmm.
Back in the 60s when it was unheard of.
Yeah.
You don't mess around giving young children that kind of information.
No.
It's mental cruelty.
It is mental cruelty.
What in the world were they thinking? And we have got to find somebody who has enough credentials that somebody will listen to. These people are going to manipulate and brainwash our children.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy, but all you have to do is read it. 57 pages worth of it.
Well, you know, I don't know. I know I don't have any credentials. I just spoke as a grandmother and someone who cares about all the children and the future of this country as well. But you know, credentials I do not have. But I know that was just God who arranged the circumstances where I could speak out about it. And you know, so we just, you know, God is faithful, and we need to pray that we will have increasing numbers. I know that. I know we are praying that, and we will pray it. But I must go, and y'all, thank you so much, and good night.
Thank you, and good night. Are you there, Miss Diana?
Oh, I am here. I'm just talking to myself. I had muted myself. Sorry. I have this habit of muting myself so that nobody hears the noise here. But one thing that we have going is, you know, we have this Dr. Duke Pesta coming.
Yes.
So
yes.
He is coming on the 7th, which is right the weekend before the 12th. So
right.
We can really, with all the people that's going to be coming to the events, we've got 3 of them, maybe even 4. I think we should be able to really get it into the minds and hearts of the parents that they need to show up. I know everybody's busy, but this is really, the house is on fire. But at the same time, I'm so glad for this opportunity, and Sam, I'm glad you studied that. What little bit I did get to glean out of it, was bad, and I wrote a little article, Alabama's Unified and Comprehensive System of Learning Supports Under Tommy Bias. Will it lead children to stumble, and can pastors afford to be silent? You know, they really need to learn, and I'm praying that they will come. People are talking about they're going to invite their pastors to these events. I hope they will, because as you've said, this is really, really bad. And I looked at the Unified Comprehensive Learning Supports, and looking at that, it's got so many things that they're wanting to be able to do, but it's only really doable if, kind of like what you've just said, if those mental health counselors are there.
Right.
Because in a way, they're like the police. They're going to use the data that they're going to glean off of these children, and we know where the data's coming from. It's in every iPad, every computer, anytime that child accesses that internet, there's data. So they have said it on their website that data is going to be the most important part of this, because that's how they're going to work everything out. They're going to be able to figure that child out. And so they're going to use that data, and they're going to, like you said, they're going to study child by child. It's almost like, it's like with social work. You have a caseload. So they're all going to have a caseload, and they're going to really be able to, with a use of data, pinpoint the ones that I guess they need to zoom in on.
Well, you remember when we asked him about where is the money going to come from, and he said, well, that won't be a problem. He said, I don't know where you're talking about, because it was $84 million. And he said, I just don't know where you got that. And it's in the delivery plan. That's where I got that. It's on page 17 in case he's listening and he wants to go look. But if you remember back, Arnie Duncan said they were going to put federal employees into the schools. Do you remember like a year ago? When they were talking about the program to put the federal advisors into the schools. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. And I don't remember that.
Yeah. They were. Arnie Duncan came out in one of his speeches talking about federal advisors in the schools. Are those counselors considered mental police, and the federal government's going to put them in our schools? Because they... The definition is professional counselor. Now, you know how much money those people cost. A professional counselor should be a doctor or a psychologist or someone who has been to school specifically for that, because if they're not, then that would leave the schools open to be sued for malpractice. You don't have counselors. Because if it was just career counselors, that's one thing. Because that's what we're used, career and college counselors, who deal with your grades, choose the best subjects for you to take, help you get into college. Now, this is a three-pronged program. Personal, social, career, and I can't remember do you remember the third one? I can't remember the third one. So if they put professional counselors into the schools and they do more than career counseling, where does that put the schools as far as liability? If something goes wrong with one of those children. If my child needed professional counseling, I sure as heck wouldn't trust a school employee or a federal employee to counsel my child. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But that's what we're going to do if we can't stop it. And it was
crazy.
But he took it off when he found out we were going against it.
Well, Ms. Ann, I looked, it seemed like, at the summary of what all this is about. And again, it's like, okay, is all this worth it? And I remember reading it and I think, no, it's not worth all this. Not just the money, but the intrusion. And it's like, somebody said, this is really none of their business. I think the warning from Linda Murphy was this has never been done before. And so actually he is pioneering. And But let me see if I can find the page that's got, like, I think, the conclusion, because I'm thinking, all this for that? And it's pretty much like to raise the levels of graduates, you know. And I'm thinking, okay,
yeah,
that sounds like a good thing. But
that's not what it is.
Right, because it sounds so crazy that you would do all this, almost have the Gestapo watching over each child, you know. But then I guess that's what Peg Lutzik was warning us. You know, it's, everybody's got to be accountable. The teacher's got to be accountable, right? And they've got to have the test, because they've got to be able to measure the fact that the teachers are teaching to the test. And they've got to give these tests, you know, in set times, so that they know that the teacher is doing what they're supposed to, and the child is receiving the teaching. So Peg Lutzik, I think, you know, it's kind of simple the way she said it, but really it's about measuring their results to see how well they're doing, and that's what all this money is about.
I pulled up the first page. It's academic development, career development, and personal social development. Responsive services, indirect services, individual student planning, and school guidance curriculum. I'm on page 55.
I guess I can read Linda Murphy's, what she said. She looked at it, she read it. She was talking about studying the comprehensive counseling guidance proposal, the one that you're talking about might be before the state board on the 12th. She said, it says that it's a framework to guide school districts, individual schools, and individual counselors in designing, developing, implementing, and evaluating a comprehensive developmental and systematic counseling program. It should be used by all the public schools for developing and implementing comprehensive outcome-based school counseling, as you said, outcome-based. All students will receive a data-driven, and that's why data is important, it's got to be a data-driven counseling program for them, which includes, like you said, their attitudes, characters, values, and beliefs. It's aligned with a national model, ASCA national model. And let's see, it helps students achieve their full potential through the four program delivery components. Okay, school guidance curriculum, individual student planning, response services, and indirect services. Comprehensive school counseling guidance programs are data-driven by student needs, come-based accountability measures that align the school counseling and guidance program with the school's overall academic mission. Every K-12 student receives prevention education to address life choices in academic, career, and personal. It's like they've taken the place of a parent. I mean, what do you need a parent
That's
for?
That's exactly what they've done. That is exactly what they've done. They have taken the place of the parent and putting in professional counselors. Let's look at the perception data. Why do students think they know, believe, or can demonstrate? This data is collected through pre- and post-surveys, test or skill demonstration opportunities, role plays, and evaluation forms. This data shows the program has a positive impact on students' ability to utilize their knowledge, attitudes, and skills to affect behavior change. Why is the school manipulating behavior change in all students? If this was for at-risk students who had been determined to be at risk, if this was for poverty-driven, because, you know, they have never admitted that poverty is the main driving force with student failure. But that's not what this is for. This is for every student and every teacher. Let's not go find the problems and try to fix the problem. Let's fix everybody. And I just think it's unacceptable. It's collectivism. It's socialism. And just like my son-in-law said, was done in Russia, not in America.
Well, and that's the that should be a big point. Right there, Ms. Ann, that should be a big point. You know, we are the land of the free. Our freedoms really are being subdued, ignored, destroyed right there. And so you would think that we could bring up the fact, but the way it is, they've got the state school board with a majority going their way. And then the legislature, you know, that's a big question mark. But I look at the PPRA, Protection of People Rights Amendment, and it says that, you know, it seeks to ensure that schools and contractors obtain written parental consent before minor students are required to participate in any ed-funded surveys, analysis, or evaluation that reveals information concerning political affiliation, mental and psychological problems potentially embarrassing to the student and his or her family, sex behavior and attitudes, illegal antisocial self-incriminating and demeaning behavior, critical appraisals of other individuals with whom respondents have close family ties, income. But to me, they have violated the PPRA, everything that they're really going to do in that comprehensive counseling guidance, smacks of measuring, all these are supposed to be, you know, not touched. And I know that the FAFSA law has been, you know, cut down, and that now all the information can be gathered and pretty much sold, and parents don't really have a say in preventing the selling of that information, but the PPRA is still there. But I guess the biggest problem is nobody is making sure to use it, or the schools don't want us to use it.
The citizenry, the parents, don't realize what's happening because they're leading their lives. They're raising their families. They're working because of the financial strain that this economy has put on us all. And it takes people, crazy people like us, who spend all of their time
all night
to educate. But what it's going to take is somebody sue the heck out of the state school board or the state when something happens to one of these students because of this curriculum.
Well, that is really something that Joan Landis had said so too, that, you know, it's just a matter of time, because she said you got, what, one quarter of your classroom, if not more, depending on where, already has, you know, had trauma or something like that, you know, mentally diagnosed, you know, problem. And she said, so really it's just a matter of time before you do affect somebody and re-traumatize them or whatever.
Yeah, and sending home suicide papers is not something that you do. That is absolutely lunacy. That's just, do they not have any common sense down there? Is that
I hope it's not happening, you know, how he has those 10 districts, right?
Yeah.
That he's doing this pilot testing, and I'm wondering, you know, because we saw in Mobile about the 5-year-old going through a suicide checklist. So that's, there was a principal that was interviewed, and she said that, you know, that was their one size fit all. See, that's their approach, right? We've seen that with this initiative, Common Core Standards Initiative. It's a one size fits all. You give this form to that. Don't have enough mindset to think that's a 5-year-old. should not be given that. And so the same thing with this, you give it through K through 12 or Head Start through 12, not having the mindset that it is, does not apply, you know, to all of them. So, Ms. Ann, it's that one size fits all. That's just smack dab what Common Core is. So to me, that happened in Mobile. This happened in Dothan, which we know Dothan is one of those areas. But I think Mobile is probably one of the first ones, too. I think I saw somebody's name that kind of I kind of looked at, and they were a former assistant principal, and I think or superintendent, and they're going around the country really teaching about this this counseling guidance model. So anyway, I think they're all, you know, really following a guideline.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't use common sense.
No, there is no common sense in Common Core. When you know you're teaching revisionist history, when you know you're teaching fuzzy math that nobody can do except the small percentage of a student whose brain is keyed in to learning that kind of math problem. The way there are children who learn, they all learn differently. So the small percentage that learn math the way they're teaching it and leave the rest of them out, because unless you learn it that way, you're not going to learn it. They're common sense has just flown out the window. But the bigger problem besides the common sense is the ideology, the collectivism, everybody learning to a two-year college. Then that you take away their imagination and their ability to think outside the box, because Common Core won't allow you to think outside the box. That's what made America
great.
Ms. Ann,
would you believe, well, time has flew, because I know we're just so interested in what's going on, and we've almost run out of time, but I was going to, let's see, talk a little bit more about that teacher part, and I guess what listeners just really need to be aware of is everybody's got to play a part in enforcing. And unfortunately, teachers have a major role. And I can see that with only, you know, every three years, if they're not in compliance, they could lose their job. I mean,
yes.
You know, talking about putting them on edge as if they're not already on edge with every test, right? If that child does not score well, not only is it going to affect them, of course, the principal's on top of it because it affects the school's money. So talking about all these vice grips, Ms. Ann, which leads to stress, and that's what we hear in, unfortunately, from a lot of these mental health experts. Mary Calamia from New York testified the increase of cutting 300% because the testing was just horrible. You know, they were tested all the time. And she said there was even one child that tried to commit suicide and ended up being put on psychotropic drugs so that they can even attend school. So people that are, you know, that makes me mad when the thing that is really even causing the stress level to rise is this initiative that they are promoting.
Right.
And I'm thinking parents better get up to speed, because it's not a safe place for the child anymore. And I think it's going to take, like she said, we have to really be focused. We have to be united. We have to be heard. We have to show up. We have to show up.
That's
when
the
state board
thing.
Meets and there's a call, we have to be there. And I know jobs are important, but I think moms and dads, you've got to take time off and ask for a day off, because it is, your child is going to be very, very sick if this keeps on. And we'd rather stop it. And you know, this is one part that we can stop. Right, Ms. Ann? We really can stop this from happening.
I think we can stop this. I think there's enough common sense on the school board. Well, let's say I hope there's enough common sense on the school board. If they read it, it's 57 pages. Read it. Do you want your child to be professionally counseled by a school employee? How crazy is that? That's all I have to say. I do not want my grandchild, God forbid that she need counseling, but professionally counseled in the school. There's something
wow.
wrong with that.
There is
and
something wrong with that. Mm.
And I'm going to post this Alabama state plan. It's a draft, and I'm going to post it on rainydaypatriots.org and Alabama Legislative Watchdogs and Stop Common Core and every site I can get it on to let the parents and anybody who's listening, you can read it for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. And see if you get the same thing that I got and the same thing that my very highly intelligent son-in-law, who is a law professor, a lawyer within Army Intelligence, and he's not ultra-conservative like I am. Let me tell you, most lawyers aren't. But when he read it, he knew this is wrong. This is wrong. So y'all look for it out there. Stop Common Core, Alabama, rainydaypatriots.org, Alabama Legislative Watchdogs. And it'll be out there and you can read it. 57 pages if you want to download it, or you can read it online, either way. Y'all just look for it.
Well, you know, Ms. Ann, the science is really, you know, modern science, you know, according to Joan Landis, tells you you don't do this to children. You know, you don't, the Common Core is using old science. And to me, it's like, that would be like malpractice. If you were a doctor and you were treating somebody with old science and something that you know does not work anymore, I mean, that person would be sued, would be out of a job.
Exactly. How are they going to counsel somebody who's already under professional counseling? Or psychiatric care. How are they going to do that? I did not see anything in those 57 pages that addressed that problem. It's like, we don't care what you're doing. Just the schools will take control.
And one of the things I think that Miss Linda Murphy warned is, you know, you really don't want children under any individual or group counseling in the schools, you know, you don't, because you could ask a child, but that child's not going to remember every detail. And,
right.
And they're going to be able to measure things in ways that that child has no idea, you know, they even
and
being
the
measured.
Other,
so.
Yeah, and the other thing is you don't see the word parent very often in this Alabama state plan.
Well, that's it. They left us out. They left the parents out intentionally.
Yep.
And I do remember looking at various websites about the counseling, and one of the things that was very, very worrisome is the fact that there were even some, and I even think it was on that website that I was looking through, that UCLA website that was touting Tommy Bice as leading the nation in this. And I think I saw some question and answer pages on there, and there was something to the effect that, you know, you don't, there were situations where the parent doesn't even hear about that first counseling session.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get consent. And
okay.
Then there were some others that if the child is 12 and over, that you don't have to get consent. So I'm just wondering, what kind of consent have they even got set in this thing? Did you read that, Ms. Ann?
I didn't see consent. It is part of the curriculum. It's called curriculum. It's not called program. It is a curriculum, which means
wow.
it's like a subject. You can't choose to change your child's curriculum in the lower
But
grade.
Now, Ms. Ann, I think I get from this part of the control, too, is they expect every child to be in school for a rigorous instruction, right?
Right.
So if that child is absent, then that child and you could be under duress, I guess, or penalty will be coming in different forms. So I guess that's one of the things that they're going to use to control.
It's called indirect services and responsive services. You know, here in Alabama, we now have quality of life police. They actually drive police cars around. I figure they'll be using the quality of life police for and indirect services. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, parents out there, if you are here in Alabama, you need to be speaking out and be at the board meeting November the 12th. I think if we get enough people in there saying, you might as well stop worrying about this program because we will not allow it to be instituted. Sounds like to me they're trying to go do an end run by going ahead and beginning before it's even approved. You do not send out suicide papers to elementary students. That's crazy.
Mm-mm-mm.
They don't even know what that word is.
It's maddening, and it's, to me, it's like, you know what we've heard with with even porn, pornography. You don't show it because even one time is enough. It's very hard to wipe that off the mind, and so for these children, and I'd hate to be the parent that's being asked that question now. This is really tough stuff, Miss Ann. And so we're going to give it to God in prayer in closing and really try to get parents to share this. And I know we'll email. And we just really need people to be there because really this is taking away freedom. You might as well live in the Gulag archipelago, I guess. Mm-hmm.
What is Dr. Bice's agenda? What is his agenda? What good is this going to do in educating our children? Tell me your agenda. That's my last word.
I think I saw some of the, like I said, I read something about the conclusion of why this was being done, but it seems to me like you're making a mountain out of a molehill. We know what helps students learn. We see that with a lot of the homeschoolers. They need more of that parental input. And in this, it's going way the other side of the spectrum, which is completely take the parents out. So, I guess if you dumb them down where, everybody can graduate with a fifth grade level, then, you would increase your graduation rate, right, Miss Ann?
That's right. That's what they're after. Go to a trade school or go to the two-year college because that's what Common Core is for. Does not prepare you for college.
Yes, and thank you for being on the interview with Professor Milgram. People have loved that, Miss Ann, and they're asking for it, they're sharing it, they're listening. So y'all post some really excellent questions and food for thought, and so everybody's excited about that. So thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. He was great. I like Professor Milgram.
He was, yes. Well, in closing, Ms. Ann, I'm going to go ahead and give it to God in prayer. And we, Ms. Ann, this is what makes this nation great, though, is that it is formed by God who, can really move through space and time and change things, but only if he hears from his people. If my people are called by his name, would humble themselves and seek his face and turn from their evil ways, and he would heal the land. And there is a sickness prevalent in the land among the minds of many. And they're trying to make it contagious to the younger children on up. And we're going to stand in the gap. Thank you, Miss Ann Eubank. that you are standing in the gap, and we're grateful for the others, Miss Barbara and many more. And so we're going to ask God for mercy. And I love the fact, Miss Ann, that he said nothing is hard for him. So here we go.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you said with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Lord, we really don't need to unite with anyone. We just need to unite with you. There is no force greater than you. So right now, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. And that you said to ask, and if it be according to thy will, it shall be done. And we know it is your will that these children not be led to stumble. And Lord, we just ask right now that you allow miraculous breakthroughs to come so that, Lord, these children will not have to go through this comprehensive counseling guidance, this unified system, a unified learning support system that Tommy Bice, Lord, has helped develop and is being touted throughout. We ask instead that you let the parents make a stand, that they are the parents of these children, that you have entrusted them with a God-given responsibility to raise their children, and that, Lord, you have said that parents are responsible for the children, not the government. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that, and we ask that you, Lord, remind the parents listening that there is a power that goes with that, because that is your will. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you just equip the parents throughout with the knowledge and the wisdom that they need to make a stand, that you would order their steps, that, Lord, that they would show up on November 12th and any other date that they're needed, Lord, to go before that state board, that they would show up in numbers so huge to show that, yes, they love their children. Yes, they care for their children. Yes, there's nothing more important than being there for their children. Lord, I just pray that you'd help them to see the truth, that, Lord, these children, nobody else can stand and defend them. No one but them and you by the side. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We're so grateful for the knowledge and wisdom that you've given Miss Ann to study, and also Miss Barbara, and for them standing, and all the others in the Stop Common Core groups in Alabama and throughout this nation, Lord, for their stand. And, Lord, just bless this coming meeting with Dr. Pesta, and may people come in droves, Lord, November 7th, 8th, and 9th, Lord, as you've allowed these meetings to take place in Mobile, Dothan, Helena, Lord. Oh, we're just so grateful. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Diana.
Oh, thank you, Miss Ann. And I'm just so glad you've studied that, Miss Ann, and that you were able to, you know, just really sift through it. Because it's a lot. And somebody had to do it, and I'm glad you did it, because, hey, I've heard your presentation. So there is nothing like it. You know, it's wonderful, because somebody, a few people, not just one person, said that in Troy. I think that was just an incredible presentation from Ann Eubanks. I didn't know that, you know. You just went through so much detail, and they got it. So I know that, you know, you studying this, I do ask, though, for you to write a little something, if you don't mind, because, you know, you've got some points that we need to really just be sure to look at this page or whatever you want us to, because you know how we are. I know me, I will take too much time on one page, and before you know it, I've lost track of time. So, but I want to be able to look at the pages that really you want us to highlight.
You know, there is a Common Core meeting in Dubai this month. All the countries are in Common Core. So that little Common Core is state-led, that we've all said was an absolute prevarication.
Wow.
There's an article out there talking about all the international countries who are involved in Common Core. It is an international, global education I've said it all along. Every time I talk about it, I put my tinfoil hat on. It starts with the state-led. States had nothing to do with it. Bill Gates has been funding Common Core.
Isn't that sad, Miss Ann? The man has more money than he'll ever spend in his lifetime. And I do remember seeing that UNESCO agreement with Bill Gates. And I'm thinking, you know, these are children. These are not products. And I guess he's gotten so used to being such a, you know, a magnanimous man, able to do great things, that he's forgotten these are little human beings, little people, and they have their own lives to live, not for him to direct, but for them to live, you know, with God's help, their parents' help. So, but I thank God that, you know, we were able to give it to him. And I just really pray, Miss Ann, I really ask the parents to go and share the information with your pastor. Take a friend if you need to be more comfortable. But I think, you know, just give it to them and let God do the rest. I think they're seeing what's going on in Houston, and hopefully that will wake them up to the fact that, you know, they're supposed to be standing up. And if you don't stand up, everybody goes down.
Right.
So it is time.
Absolutely.
Okay, Miss Ann, next Tuesday, maybe you can come on.
Okay.
Well, no, maybe you can next Tuesday, because you pretty much are able to give us updates, and we love it. So
okay.
We will. But, you know, let's see. Today is when – let me look at the calendar and look at when November the 12th is. Okay.
It's on a Wednesday.
It's on a Wednesday after Veterans Day. Oh, my goodness. And do we have to get on the agenda? We have to call in?
I think so. I'm going to talk with Stephanie Bell and Betty Peters tomorrow about exactly what we need to do. And I'll make doggone sure we get it out there. And I'll be back next Tuesday, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about what we need to do.
Okay. Thank you so much. Well, listeners,
you're welcome.
Please share this. Go to www.cityonthehill.tv. God bless you, and good night.
Good night.